Dear listeners, Sai Ram. We now bring you Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Today's episode was first aired on 19th May 2016 as part of Thursday Live programs on Asia Stream of Radio Sai. This program is hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu.
Let us offer our most grateful and prayerful salutations at the lotus feet of our most beautiful Bhagwan. Dearest Lord, please bless us so that every moment of our lives we feel your presence in everything that we do, right from dawn to dusk. We delight only in your love and see only your hand in everything that we endeavor during the day. With this prayer, welcome dear listeners to this special episode of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This is the second episode on the Satya Sai Arati. In the previous week, we began discussing about the meaning of the Satya Sai Arati. We started off with the lyrics, the tune, and then discussed what is the significance of Arati, why at all should we do Arati. We took the first few introductory lines of the Arati and communicated to you the lyrics and the tune, and also discussed about the raga of the Arati. We discussed about the notes and the beat, and for over a half an hour, over a conversation with Brother Ramesh Deshpande, we shared with you the importance of this ritual, which is a part of every bhajan session in every corner of the globe. Today we wish to continue this discussion because there is so much to share about the importance and the significance of Arati. Bhagwan has laid down this ritual for us right from the time Sai Bhajans came into being. In fact, in the earlier years, he himself used to do the Arati and take the light around personally to every devotee who was part of the Bhajan session. Therefore, it is very vital that we understand why we do Arati and how it has to be done. And today we will continue this discussion. We will listen to the tune of the Arati, the first few lines again, and then move on to the discussion with Brother Ramesh Deshpande. Since we have discussed about the raga of the Arati in the first session, we will not repeat that. Those of you who are interested in knowing the notes of the bhajan and how to play this in different musical instruments, you may please listen to the previous episode. In this episode, we will talk about the tune of the Arati, the first few lines once again, and then go on discussing more about the significance of the Arati.
Om Jai Jagadisha Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka Parti Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. The Mangala Arati is sung in the scale C sharp Madhyam. Om Jai Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka Parti Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadish Hare.
As mentioned before, we are not going to discuss about the raga and the beat of the Arati, which we have already done in the previous episode. We will now move on to share more insights and reflections about the significance of this most important part of every bhajan session. So you will now listen to the conversation that I had with Brother Ramesh Deshpande, a former student of Baba's University and a faculty member in the Department of Management and Commerce in the Prashanthi Nilayam campus of Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. Saram, Brother Ramesh, and welcome once again to this special episode that we are doing on Bhagwan's Arati.
Sairam, Brother Bishu. Happy to be here.
So the last time we just started, we talked about the significance of the Aarti and we just started dwelling on the words that make the first line of the Aarti. So before we proceed further going into the lyrics of the Aarti, any more thoughts on the significance of the Aarti?
Yeah, in fact, I had missed out one point, which is another beautiful meaning of the word Aarti itself.
Mm-hmm.
So A actually means, one more meaning is until.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and Rati is, you know, attachment
yes.
to God. So until we get attached to the Lord, let this, you know, this whole process of whatever ritual I'm doing, let it continue. So the Aarti, when we say, you know, is the conclusion of a prayer, we actually say that, now I'm attached to you, O Lord, therefore I will give Aarti. So mm-hmm. actually, the Aarti should come only once in our lifetime, which is when we are on the pyre. Right, which is the ultimate, because beyond that we cannot do anything in that lifetime to get attached to God. So otherwise our whole life is an entire process of until we get attached to God, until we get attached to God. So I felt this was also a very beautiful meaning of the word Aarti.
Bhagwan used to mention about Bharat, right? All the people who have Rati,
yes,
Rati to Bhagwan. Everyone is an Indian, everyone is a Bharatiya, whoever has love for God, whoever feels that attachment to the Lord.
Correct.
And so in that way, I think Aarti is again, which everyone does everywhere.
Correct.
It is for them to get attached to the Lord.
Yes. And again, the Lord is nothing but, you know, He is Satya Swarupa. So He's the embodiment of truth. So it doesn't mean that you have to actually be a theistic.
Yes.
You could be in pursuit of truth and still be doing Aarti. So in the chemistry labs, in the physics labs, Aarti can still go on. Yes. It does in fact go on.
Amazing. You know, that's where we stopped in the previous episode. You know, we were talking about Satya Sai. And how he is that truth. What is Sai? He is that ultimate truth.
The one which rests on truth. Satya Sai.
Yes.
That's how Swami himself explained in the 50th birthday. So that's a beautiful, beautiful experience. And now if you look at now our organization, Swami mentions actually that our organization is called the Sri Satya Sai Seva Organization. It's not only just this Satya Sai of 5'3", but that organization which rests on truth. When we say the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, we are actually saying that the higher learning which comes from the study of that truth. Right? So everything starts to make so much meaning and so much deeper significance when we think of the word Satya itself, Satya Sai itself.
Amazing. And the institute has Satyam Vada, Dharmam Chara as the motto.
Yes.
So it's basically that Satya Institute, Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning connotes that Satyam Vada.
Yes.
Which is the motto.
Exactly. The fundamental truth.
Yeah, fundamental truth. The same thing with the Satya Sai organization. It's, as you very profoundly mentioned, it is very, it could be a misnomer to just associate it to this form of.
Exactly. And in that sense, just to add, maybe on a lighter note, the Radio Sai also means that which, where truth is discussed.
Yes.
Right, where we are broadcasting the fundamental tenets of truth.
Truth.
To the entire world. And so let it not be, just limited to the life and message of the Satya Sai in this avatar, but what is the principle of Satya Sai, which is absolutely universal across all religions, across all ages and times.
Yes.
And that's what Swami is.
And you have the Aarti which is sung by people of all religions and races.
Correct.
And castes.
Correct.
And colors, even if they don't understand Telugu.
Yes, but you know, I have often heard this in many countries that Aarti, isn't it a Hindu ritual? And so therefore, why should we do it? But actually, if you look at the Aarti and if you go to the deeper significance, there's no reason why you should not be doing an Aarti.
Exactly.
Right? So we should definitely keep that aside. By calling it, that is why I said that it should not be considered to be just an Hindu ritual.
Yeah.
Rather, it's a practice that Swami wanted us to have daily in our lives by contemplating more on the inner significance of Aarti.
Wow. Amazing. So we just started Om Jai Jagadish Hare, Swami Satya Sai Hare. And you know, we discussed about Swami. Again, how Swami means He is the Master. He is the Lord. And everyone, you know, even after Bhagwan declared his avatarhood, we know how even Swami's parents used to call him Swami.
Swami. Yes.
Swami used to call his mother, physical mother, as Grahamammai. But she called Bhagwan as Swami.
Swami, yeah.
So he is the Swami of everyone.
Yes, he is the master.
The master. And I think, you know, that feeling of supplication, I think that is so much there, isn't it?
Correct. And as Swami says, you know, in the process of finding truth, there are two ways, no? One is the soham and other dasoham. That is, one is by absolutely, you know, the process of self-inquiry and etc., etc., which is a tougher path.
Yes.
The other one is to simply supplicate and surrender yourself and say, Swami, you are my master.
Yes.
You know?
So, you diminish yourself to such an extent
yes,
that you just merge at his feet.
Correct. So, in that sense, saying that Swami is my master, or Swami means master, if we are actually following that another path of truth.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Of course, then we come to the next few two words, which is Bhakta Jana and Samrakshaka. And both of them are highly loaded, you know, words.
Yeah.
When we think about it, you know, Bhakta Jana, that is all the devotees. He's the one who protects all the devotees. Bhakta Jana, Samrakshaka. Bhakta Jana means devotees. Samrakshaka is to protect, the one who protects. But let's really now kind of find out, what is this Bhakta?
Who is a Bhakta?
Who is a Bhakta? Right? Who, when we say that, if we claim ourselves to be Sai devotees, then what does it mean to be a Sai devotee? And Swami, through several discourses, he has given us, and he has also made it amply clear that that is why I don't refer to you as Bhaktulara. Okay, yes. I always refer to you as Prema Swarupulara, because that is your truth. You are really not Bhaktularas.
You are really not devotees. Not, I mean, you have to go miles before you can be correct, called by
yes,
the Lord as a devotee.
Yes.
But he addresses as embodiments of truth, because that is the truth.
Yeah, that is the truth.
So embodiments of love. You
love,
know.
Yeah. So yeah. I think Swami was rather saying that rather than calling you something you are not, let me call you something you definitely are. You don't know about it,
yeah,
but that's how I look at you.
Yeah.
Right? So if we claim ourselves to be Sai devotees and therefore Bhakta Jana, who are worth protecting, you know, then what is, how can we call ourselves as Sai devotees? So I would just like to say that, see, oftentimes as devotees, we make one mistake. Okay, and that is to believe that Swami is, so the Lord, even in even the Bible, he's called the benevolent, omnipotent Lord, which is he's benevolent, he's all merciful, he's all compassionate, he's all loving. And the other epithet, so that is benevolence, the other epithet we give him to him is omnipotent, which is he's all powerful, right? Everything is. But the mistake we do is that we actually don't believe in these two. We believe in any one of the two. The very fact that when we go to a temple and we say that, Lord, you know, this is my problem, do this for me, we are basically trying to tell that, you know, you are not omniscient, so let me explain to you my problem, but I believe that you are omnipotent, means you don't know my problem, but if I tell you my problem, you are capable of resolving it, which is a fallacy, which is a logical fallacy, right? That it doesn't make sense to actually go and tell God, I have this problems. If you believe that he is capable of resolving it, is he not capable of knowing what are your problems? And possibly he is the one who has in fact put those problems in your life. Right? And so therefore this benevolence that he is probably all loving, but he is not omnipotent. That's why I need to tell him. And that is why there are so many problems in the world. That, you know, he is all loving, damn it, but, you know, he is not omnipotent. Because, see, so many problems are there in the world. Or he is omnipotent, that is, he is all powerful, but he is not merciful. That is why all these problems are there in my life and in this world. That is, he is capable of resolving them, but you know what? He doesn't care. Both of which are logical fallacies. Right? So we should be very careful as devotees what we ask for. You know, and Swami himself has told us, don't ask for anything.
Yes.
Do you think that you know better than me what I, you know, what you need in your life?
Yes.
Right? And in fact, 24th of April, I'm just making a slight diversion over here, was one thing that really made me challenge, you know, this 24th of April 2011, made me challenge this, that here was the entire Sai world in one unison was praying only for one thing, right? And that he comes, that he's healthy once again and he's amidst us the way he used to be. So, does all of that come to a naught? We have heard of legendary stories in Bhagavatam where for one devotee, He left all the, you know, riches of the world and he came down, you know, for Prahlada or Dhruva or Ajamila, etc., etc. And in Swami's own life, we have said, you know, one devotee prayed for me and, you know, I have taken up his this thing. Here was the entire Sai world, you know, in unison for 27 days. So often I used to think maybe my prayers are not strong enough to get you back. But there was not one person and our cumulative prayers was not good enough to get you back. And in fact, on 24th, it shook my very faith in prayers itself.
Yes.
You know, until somebody told me that, you know, a very beautiful point that God's will is far more, because His will is a cosmic will. We don't understand anything about life or, you know, of this universe. And that is why our prayers are very limited in their perspective.
Yes.
Look at Krishna. Do you think that our prayers are more than those of Gopikas? Who could not keep Krishna back in Mathura, Vrindavan, Gokul, and he had to go away to Mathura? Right? I mean, let us try to benchmark ourselves against the very best in the business. Right? Do you think our love for the Lord was greater than the Vanaras and the Ayodhya Vasis who begged for Rama to stay back? And yet Rama went ahead.
And they did tapasya for 14 years.
Yes.
Praying for Rama.
Pining. They went, they chased him, you know, to the end of the world.
Yes.
And yet, you know, Rama, because his divine will is far more, you know, precious than, because he knows exactly what is needs to be done. So, coming back to, you know, even before we say, we call ourselves Sai devotees, let us be very humble about it. That we really, Swami, we are grateful to you that you have given us an opportunity to call ourselves Sai devotees and therefore let us live up to that. You know, that tag of Sai devotee. That is the first thought which comes to me when we say Bhakta Jana Samrakshaka. You know, in all your mercy and compassion, you are protecting us. But are we really your devotees?
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
You know, even as we pray and say, Swami, you are the one, I am your devotee, please protect me. Every time we say that word, I am your devotee.
Let us
we
fully
have
understand.
To question ourselves and see, am I living up to being
correct.
A devotee?
So, what is the best way we can be a devotee? And Swami often would quote this particular, the whole 12th chapter actually is like a menu. It's like, you know, Krishna opening up Arjuna telling, okay, so, you know what, if you want me to be a devotee, just tell me, man. Tell me what are the necessities of being a devotee. And here was the Lord rattling out all that he expects from a devotee. The whole 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is about exactly what he expects. What are the specifications, if we can say, you know, when we buy any product, we are looking at the specifications. Here is the Lord giving his specifications for. And so let us just pick up one verse from that, which Swami often would say.
Yes.
It's very beautiful. If this much we can live up to in our lifetime, I think we can definitely call ourselves as Sai devotees. And that is, Adveshta Sarva Bhutanam, Maitriya Karuna Evacha, Nirmamo Nir Ahankaraha, Sama Dukha Sukha Kshami.
Yes.
Right? Adveshta. Having no dvesha.
Yes.
No hatred. Sarva Bhutanam. Love all, serve all.
Serve all.
You know what? The beauty of love all, serve all is, Swami didn't say love the good.
Yeah.
You know? Swami didn't say love whom you like.
Yes.
Swami said love all.
All.
Especially the ones whom you dislike.
Yes.
Which is so difficult, right?
Yes.
So it's a pretty loaded statement there itself.
Yes.
Okay, Adveshta Sarva Bhutana. No dvesha for any, whether sentient, insentient beings, all the beings, absolute love, or no hatred, that is. So, Adveshta Sarva Bhutana, Maitriya, Karuna, friendship and compassion, evacha, that is, and both of these. And then Nirmamo, there is nothing like mine, the one who does not say mine and yours and, you know, there's no attachment to any. Nir Ahankara. So he has removed two fundamental, Ahankara and Mamakara. He has straight away thrashed over there, which all our lives, probably several janmas he will take to overcome. He has just put it in two words, Nir Mamo, Nir Ahankara. And then the beauty, Sama Dukha Sukha Kshami, the one who remains equanimous in both happiness and sorrow. And that is, in fact, the letter that Swami wrote to his brother in 1947.
Yes.
He says, those who call themselves as my devotees are the ones who surrender to me And what is the modus operandi for surrender? To remain equanimous in both good and bad.
Right.
And in Swami, several jaya pajaya mula daiva adhinamu.
Yes.
You know, he says,
yes, prayatnamulu manava dharmamu jaya prajayamulu daiva adhinamu.
Yes. So being equanimous in both joys and sorrows, that is what defines us as Sai devotees.
I think that is really fantastic, because I remember on one occasion, Professor Nanjundaya, he was coming to Prashanthi Nilayam. He was in Vrindavan, and he thought that maybe I could take some gifts for Swami. And so he was bringing along with him garlands. In those days, Swami used to accept garlands, and in a basket of fruits and a basket of flowers and garlands. And Bhagwan was waiting for him. It was early in the morning, around 7 a.m. And in fact, Bhagwan was telling someone who was with him, probably Swami Karunyananda, that Nanjundaya is coming, and you know what, there is actually a lot of water in Chitravati, and he is actually taking time to come to wade through the water. And this was in the 70s. And
mm-hmm.
and so here was Bhagwan giving a running commentary of his journey. And finally, when he comes to Prashanthi Nilayam, Swami tells this person, go down and you call him. So he goes up, and he presents himself before Bhagwan, and Swami says, oh, you have come. So how was the journey, and all the initial courtesies, and you know how Bhagwan is. And Professor Nanjundaya was so happy, you know, Swami was waiting for him. And so immediately he offers, he's got these gifts for Swami. And So Swami says, oh, you have got this for me. So he says, Swami, I've got this garland. Can I put it on you? And so Swami actually obliges, and you know, he bends forward, and you know, he tries to put this garland. And then he thought, oh my God, see, Swami is waiting for me. He's accepting things for me. I mean, can there be a greater moment than this? Can there be anyone more greater in devotion than me? Because, you know, Swami is accepting everything that I have, and Swami is waiting for me. And so he took that opportunity and told Swami, I've got some fruits also. So generally what would happen is, if you get some fruit, Swami would ask the person from the kitchen to, you know, to take it in the kitchen. So he said, okay. No, he said, no, Swami, I want to offer it to you. He said, okay, what do you want to do? Swami, I want to place it at your feet. So, okay. So, you know, so he kept those fruits also on. and then look at it, that moment of exuberance. He said, Swami, if this much devotion I have, is that not enough?
And here comes the punch.
And there Swami says, Nanjundaya, this kind of a devotion is a burden on me.
Ayyo, Sai Ram.
And is highly detrimental to you. If you want to know who is a devotee, what is devotion, go to the Bhagavad Gita and read this chapter. Advaita Sarva Bhutanam. This is exactly what Swami tells him. Because when you mentioned this, that's when it occurred to me.
Wow, fantastic. In fact, when you were narrating Sir's experience, I was reminded of another very beautiful experience that was told to us by one of the brothers who had stayed with Bhagwan. And please allow me to quickly mention this. It seems one day Swami would often come back, you know, to Purnachandra when he was residing there with letters in the hand. And he would simply look at one of these brothers and ask them to, you know, come and take the letters from his hand. So one of the days, as Swami was walking towards PC, this brother noticed that Swami's both hands are full. In the left hand was all the letters, and in the right hand was a bag, small little bag, which was, you know, Swami was clasping it towards himself. And so the tendency was, you know, Swami would give everything from his right hand.
Yes.
Right? He would, even if he wanted to give letters, he would transfer it from the left to the right and then give it with the right, because Swami would never give it with the left. And he was very critical about that. So when Swami called, the brother ran up to Swami, and he thought Swami is going to give him this bag. And Swami actually gave him with the left hand all the letters. So he was quite surprised and obviously extremely curious, what is in that bag? And Swami was just not letting go of that bag, you know. And so obviously the curiosity in rose, and Swami took that bag along with him. He wouldn't leave that bag. And this was after the morning darshan. And in the afternoon, at around 3 o'clock, before the evening darshan, the afternoon darshan, Swami had come down and Swami had brought this bag along. So everybody was like, the brothers who were inside, very inquisitive, what's there in the bag. And what emerged from the bag was very surprising. They were nothing but groundnuts, you know, with the peels on. And so Swami said, you know, come sit. And one by one, Swami started, you know, unpeeling the, or peeling the groundnuts and distributing it. And then Swami had given, it was like a mini picnic, the brother was saying. Swami was peeling a little bit, giving it to the one next to them. And this went on for a few minutes. It was a beautiful thing. And the enthusiasm with which Swami was doing it, he was not even rubbing off or pushing off, you know, the husk. Covers, the husk, the cover. And it was all falling on Swami's robe. So this brother was trying to clean Swami's robe. And Swami was saying, no, let it be. Let's come, let's enjoy. And so, you know, mentally this brother was thinking that, wow, what a devotee. You know, whichever devotee has given this to Swami, what a devotee, that with what relish Swami is eating, you know, the something that he has given. And even as that whole little mini picnic was getting completed, Swami said, do you know who gives me this? And so now here was the story emerging. And Swami said, back in the 50s, when I was staying in Pathamandiram, Swami is saying that all the ladies, you know, would come and would want to do something for Swami. So they would draw rangolis and somebody would cook chakra pongal, etc., etc. And there was this one poor lady who would come from Godavari, East Godavari district, all the way to Prashantinilam. And she did not have any skill as such. She was not good in cooking. She was not good in drawing. She was not good in decorating. And, you know, she would mentally cry that, Swami, what can I do for you? And so she decided that, so what if I cannot do these? Definitely I can get the groundnut which are growing in my garden and offer it to Bhagwan. And so the next year when she came, she bought this bag and offered it to Swami, and Swami had accepted it. And Swami said, this is all I need from you. And every year, for several years, nearly four decades after that, Swami would, every year this lady would get, you know, groundnuts for Swami. And Swami would accept it from wherever she was sitting in the darshan line. She was not a VIP, you know, sitting in the first few rows. She would be sitting somewhere at the back and Swami would hunt her down, yes. You know, and she will also try her level best. And the beauty of it was, the whole bag had got over and whatever remaining, Swami said, put it in a bowl, because I have to give this bag back to that person, because for the last 40 years, she has been bringing the groundnuts in the same very bag.
Oh my God.
You know? And just imagine, this was a courier service going on there. That not only was a devotee giving that bag to Swami, Swami would bring that bag, take it back into the darshan lines and hunt, looking, you know, look out for that devotee and give the bag back to her so that she could bring the next consignment, you know. Kaun kehte hai ki log, ki Bhagwan aate nahi. Draupadi ki tarah tum bulate nahi.
Yes.
Kaun kehte hai ki Bhagwan khate nahi, bear shabari ki tarah tum khilate nahi. You know, this is what comes to my mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, so mental pranams to that devotee, to such devotees who have enthralled the Lord, you know, and have fed the Lord with their pure love, you know, and those are actually the bhakta janas that,
and when you have that kind of a devotion, samrakshaka, you will always be protected.
Yes. So, even in now coming to the next word, which is samrakshaka, what is rakshaka? Protector.
Yes.
What is samrakshaka? Also protector, right? So, why was this word sam added to rakshaka? Just to get a beat, is it? You know, bhakta jana rakshaka. Why samrakshaka? What is the difference between rakshaka and samrakshaka? I think that's a one loaded kind of a thing over here. So, rakshaka means protector, which is external protector. Like, we have all our security agencies today. FBI, CIA, NIA, etc., etc. They are also doing rakshaka job, our army.
Yes.
Right. Samrakshaka is somebody who is going one step ahead. So, what are the things that he protects us from? So, there are three kinds of obstacles that faces any devotee or any pilgrim who is on the path of truth, which is adidaivik, adibhautik and adhyatmik. Right, Swami often talks about these obstacles in our life. These are the various challenges that we will face. Adidaivik, Adibhautik and Adhyatmik. I think it is Adibhautik, Adidaivik and then Adhyatmik. And he is the one who actually protects us from all these three obstacles. And sam actually means total. Right? So he is actually giving us total protection. Protection against all of these, and each one becomes actually, see, Adidaivik or Adibhautik is, yes, the ones which are outside of us. Okay, all the problems of either natural disasters or diseases, etc., etc. So that all that comes under the Adibhautik obstacles. Then we have Adidaivik obstacles, which are, you know, in a spiritual way, it would be as we are progressing spiritually, we will have lots and lots of issues in terms of like ego, and maybe even, for example, it is said that when one starts to do yajnam or when one takes up any good activity, you will often find there will be an obstacle which will come, which is like a test for you. Are you still going to continue that good work or are you going to drop it off? And many people, it so happens that we take up a good, for example, we decide, you know, tomorrow onwards I need to exercise because I want to keep my body fit. And the next day the alarm doesn't go off. Right? And you'll be wondering, and you get up at the same old time, and then oh my God, you know. And then probably the following day you are having a headache and you just don't feel like getting up. And the following day something makes you sleep very late at night. I mean, these are things which have happened in my life, so I can tell you. Especially with, you know, taking up something good.
Yes.
Like I want to do one extra hour of dhyana.
There are always challenges.
There are always. Those are called as the Adidaivik factors. In fact, they say that the different lokas, right, and the gods and the demigods which preside these lokas, they are trying to put obstacles, you know, to stop your spiritual progress. Because they are all the time testing you. Okay, are you ready to overcome this also? Are you ready to overcome this also? Right? And oftentimes we will find that it is more than the Adibhautik factors, it is the Adidaivik factors which are actually stopping us from doing, these spiritual sadhana. So he protects us even from that.
Wow.
And then the ultimate is the Adhyatmik, which are extremely subtle. In fact, ego is a part of the Adhyatmik, obstacles. That is, having done so much of spiritual sadhana, we achieve a particular level, and, you know, the toughest thing to let go is our ego and our name and our fame and achievements and siddhis and all of this which comes along. So you'll find that you're automatically gaining power.
Even to let go all the goodness that you have acquired.
Yes.
You have to let go even that.
The fruits of the goodness.
Yeah.
That is the fruit of the action.
Yes.
You know, whether it is japa, dhyana.
Ultimately, you have to go beyond even sattva.
Correct.
Tamas, rajas and even sattva, you have to go beyond.
And in fact, those are the most trickiest obstacles in our life, you know. As Swami often would say that, you know, here a man who gave up everything in his life goes to Himalayas, picks up a rock, and because it is said that he should meditate in the same place, for years he meditated on the same rock. One day he found somebody else came and sat on that rock and he got angry. You left the entire world and got yourself attached to a rock up there in Himalayas.
Yes.
Right? It's those kind of, you know, the attachment,
yes.
Ego, our sense of achievement.
Yes.
All of that is, those are the toughest ones. And even from that, he protects us. So, the Samrakshaka is a total all-round protector.
Comprehensive,
like an antivirus, they say, you know. Malware and Trojans and everything it protects. So, our system is being protected by such a master.
Amazing.
So much for Samrakshaka.
And who is this Samrakshaka? Parthi Maheshwara.
Yeah. We'll quickly do this.
Yes.
Maha again means... Mahidhar is the earth.
Yes.
And Maheshwar is, so therefore, the lord of the earth.
Earth.
And Parthi, Swami many times has told us that Parthi is this body.
Yes.
And Parthi Maheshwar is actually the resident of this body because this body has come from this earth.
Yes.
It's made of the Pancha Mahabhutas. So, we are actually saying that he is the indweller. He is the Antaryami who is living in this, in this body which has come from the earth. So to that indweller, we are saying that he, please protect me from, you know, all these factors, different factors, because I claim myself to be your devotee, you know. So, in a very brief this thing, of course, we can again go into in depth, but, you know, Just to sum up the whole thing, it's a very, very deep prayer that we are making, that, O Lord, who is my indweller, please protect me from all these issues so that I may be able to focus, you know, constantly on you.
And bless me so that I can live up to being your devotee.
Yes.
And know that you are that fundamental truth, and have that feeling of complete submission to the Lord.
Correct.
Have that feeling of complete surrender to the Lord. I think
yes.
that is so much there. You know, when you just sing, what today occurred to me, you know, as we were discussing is, Om Jaya Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare. When you sing, you feel that it is a stanza where you just praise the Lord, but actually it is not that. If you think a little deeper, it is a stanza where you just offer yourself completely to the Lord.
Correct. It's a conversation. It's a conversation that you are having with yourself.
Yes.
The fundamental self.
Yes. And the Divine Master who is very much within you.
Yes, your indweller.
Your indweller. Amazing. Wonderful, Brother Ami. Perhaps in the next session, we'll take up the stanzas of the Arati. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother. Thank you for this Sairam. Opportunity. Sai Ram.
So that was Brother Ami Deshpande, a member of the Prashanti Mandir Bhajan group, who has had the opportunity to sing in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for over 15 years and even now continues to sing regularly in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanti Nilayam. We will continue this discussion on Aarti for the coming episodes of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. In fact, we have in total 6 episodes. In each episode, we will discuss about one stanza of the Aarti. What is its meaning? How it should be pronounced? And what is the significance? How we should sing it? What should be our mental framework when we offer every word of the Aarti to the Lord? And now, before we conclude this session, let's listen to the entire Aarti and sing along.
Om Jai Jagadish Hare Swami Satya Sai Hare Bhakta Jana Sangrashaka Bhakta Jana Sangrashaka Pati Maheshwara Om Jai Jagadish Hare Shiva Jana Shri Kara Sarva Pranapati Swami Sarva Pranapati आश्रित कल्पन चीता आपसार जगदीश हरि आस पिता गुरु दैव मरियम तरुणीवे स्वामी मरियम तरुणीवे नार ब्रह्म जगनाथा नार ब्रह्म जगनाथा
Oh,
So with that, dear listeners, we have come to the end of the second episode of discussing the Satya Sai Aarti in this special series of Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. Please do tell us if you like this discussion and if you are enjoying this special episode. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. The audio engineers for this program are Sunil and Abhishek, and the background score was done by another alumnus from Chennai, T.S. Ramakrishnan. Thank you so much for being with us all through the program. We offer this endeavor at the lotus feet of our most beautiful, precious Lord.
You were listening to an episode of our program, Radio Sai Bhajan Classroom. This episode was first aired on 19th May 2016 as part of Thursday Live from Prashantinilayam on Asia stream of Radio Sai Global Harmony. This program was hosted by Team Radio Sai's Bishu. Thank you and Sai Ram.